Welcome to the Dream Factory, a warm, cozy, and extremely lovely place where only the most visceral nightmares and pleasure-driven musings of its residents are mercilessly extracted and sold for the pure enjoyment of others. The Dream Factory, a new novel by Mark Marcus. Now available on your Apple device, Kindle, and on Amazon.com. Go to CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory. Hi, this is Mark, and welcome back to CandleShore. A quick thank you to all of you who have been supporting the release of the new book, The Dream Factory. I also want to mention very quickly that the book should be available on the Nook, the Barnes & Noble Nook, hopefully in a week or so. So be sure and check on the website, which is, CandleShorePublishing.com/Dream Factory for more purchasing options. This has been a very interesting week, and I think that's putting it mildly. Yesterday, a friend and I were in a car accident, and it was, in some ways, very badly. Her car was drivable, but just barely. Let me set it up for you and tell you why I'm calling this episode "Not Me." So we're on, and I don't want to get too into, you know, detailed, because you'll lose interest, and maybe I'll lose interest too. So we don't want that to happen. But here's what happened. So we're on a street, and we're going north, like that really matters to you, right? But kind of into the sun. And the street is, I'll just say, four lanes, okay? So there's two going north and two going south. We're going north in the inner lane, the lane next to us to the left is going the opposite direction. So this involves the two inner lanes, okay? So the traffic, it's like a parking lot. There's no traffic really moving, but we want to go into this, Taco Bell, I guess that's what she wanted. I don't know. So we're stopped. And again, we're going north. The next car going the opposite direction, the headlights are just ahead of us. So it's almost like being cheek to cheek, right? So you know what I'm saying? So it's a big SUV. So the driver, my friend, turns in front of the SUV to the left, okay? But the SUV is huge, and we're sitting really, really low in the car. She can't see around the SUV to see oncoming traffic, the traffic that's furthest away from us on the left. Have I set that up? So there's two lanes to our left going in the opposite direction. She turns in front of the innermost lane, a big SUV, and she does it not being able to see the leftmost lane closest to the parking lot we're trying to get into. As a result, by the time she clears the SUV, she does see oncoming traffic. There's a car coming. She hits the brakes, and the oncoming car slams right into the right fender, right into the right front tire. Now, fortunately, she saw the car too late, but if she had just kept going, that car, the oncoming car, would have T-boned us, right? It would have hit my door, or right in the center of the car. And she's driving a big, big car. So the guy must have been going, I think, 35 to 40 miles an hour, because there was just no traffic in that turning lane. Do you see what I mean? All right. The SUV, I don't know what happened to the SUV, but she, you know, we all stopped for a second, and then she continues on left into the parking lot, and they follow us. And there's also a witness who was behind the big SUV. All right. So now we're all in the parking lot. So there's this parking lot. We're on one side of the parking lot. I think it's for Taco Bell or Del Taco, one of those places. The car that hit us, even though it was my friend's fault, is there. And then there's this witness who, as it turns out, didn't see much of anything. Just a busybody. I'll explain that in just a second. All right. So the first thing I do, of course, everybody's a little, I get out of the car. My friend is shaken up. She knows the accident was completely her fault, turning into oncoming traffic with a huge blind spot, right? She can't get her door open. because the car that hit us knocked the car out of alignment, and that fender was jammed right against the front tire. I mean, it's a big hole. I mean, it wore kind of smashed the right light of the car we were in, everything. His car was damaged too, but not nearly so much. Thank God we were in a boat. This car is a boat. It was a big town car. All right. So I get out of the car. Fortunately, my door is fine. I get out, run around to the other side of the car, because she's shaken up, and try to get the door open. Well, it's really jammed. So I pull all my weight on it, pull it, bop, pops open, right? So I'm standing there now. Now, on the other side of the parking lot is the people who hit us, a man, a woman, who have more tattoos than I have teeth. I've never seen so many tattoos on young people. They must have been, I'm just going to give you a description now. They must have been, they were both white. They were, and there's a reason why I say they're both giving you the race. They're both white. They have tattoos. They're about, I gave between 25 and 28. They have a child in the backseat who wasn't belted in. So my friend is also white. Okay. So everybody's white but me. I want to make that clear because this plays a very big part in what I'm about to tell you. All right. So I'm standing there waiting for her, because I've been in a lot of accidents. I'm making sure take her seatbelt off. She's just really shaken up, So I stand back, open the door, give her room, let her, start looking for her insurance. I mean, there's always that shock. On the other side of the parking lot, or when I say the other side, I mean, maybe 20 feet across, right? Not like on the other side of a football field. The guy's out of his car and he is PO'd. He is angry. He's a young guy, I understand. He's cussing. He actually starts hitting his own trunk. I've never seen anything like he's stomping his feet, hitting his truck. I don't know what all I heard him say was, I put all my damn money into this car. I can't believe this, blah, blah, blah. And I understand. I get it. So the witness is there and I don't know what they're talking. They're all talking. All right. So time passes, and it seems like a long time, but I guess it really wasn't. Okay, so I'm assuming the wife, it turns out the wife, somebody calls the 911, and there's five of us, me, her, my friend, that's two, the husband and wife, that's four, the witness and the child. So there's six people involved, and everybody's out of the car, no one is hurt, no one is physically hurt, all right, at least that we can see. Nevertheless, I guess the wife or somebody called the 911. Now, this is where it gets interesting. And I'm giving you some information that I didn't have at the time, but that I've since gathered. All right. One, it turns out that, everybody thought I was driving the car. This is what freaked me out, right? I'm standing there just waiting. I'm standing. I have a pair of jeans on. I have a kind of a Hawaiian shirt with an overshirt because it's kind of cold out here right now. My overshirt is unbuttoned. My sleeves are pulled up, kind of rolled up to my elbows. I'm just want to get, this is important that you understand this. So it's not like I've got a trench coat and looks like I'm carrying a Glock or something. I want to make that clear. I'm just standing there with my arms folded, waiting patiently because I don't, in these situations, you never know what's going to happen. I've been in a lot of them. I've never been in an accident with this particular friend before. So I don't, I'm having to assess her and letting the guy calm down. Now, it turns out the whole time he's ranting and raving, he wants to come over and start yelling at my friend, but he looks at me, keeps looking at me and thinking, I know he's thinking, I don't want to get involved in that. You know what I mean? And so he keeps his distance. And I remember being 20. I know what it's like. You got a car. Listen, I've had a new car. One time I bought a car, and I'll be damned if we didn't get into an accident less than a block from the dealership. I know. Although it turns out his car is 22 years old, which may not be relevant, but and I'm 22 years old. God. Anyway. All right. So first off, the witness comes over and she's looking at like, what happened? What did you do? Now, I want you to understand. Let me go back and give you a little backstory. The city that this happened in is reputed to be somewhat of a racist city. Now, as a black man, I can honestly tell you that a lot of black people disagree because I'm not exactly militant. I don't see racism behind every corner. It's just not part of my ethos. It isn't. It never has been, and hopefully it never will be. And I grew up in the South, so I know what, real racism is. And, I don't know. You got a woman, again, everybody's white. You got a white woman in the front seat of a car with her legs sticking out because she's kind of like as if she's going to get out, but she's looking for her insurance paperwork in her purse. She's got the seatbelt. Is the seatbelt over one shoulder? I guess it is because we got it unbuckled. You got a black man, me, standing outside the car, my arm folded, calm as can be, right? And you got, which one of us do you think was driving the car? To me. So at first I thought, well, whatever, you know, witnesses, blah, blah, blah. And the witness is kind of a little busybody anyway. She, you know who she reminded me of? A Mrs. Kravitz. I don't know if you remember the old TV show Bewitched, but just like that kind of person. And she starts talking. And she, of course, she asked the lady that the driver of my car, is she okay? So, and she tells me, oh, you know, the other day, I had to chase somebody down because they hit somebody and I want to make sure, whatever. I just think she's one of these people. It's nice to be involved and everything, but I don't know. I just got some, anyway. Okay. So on the other side of the parking lot, the couple and their kid, I don't know what they're doing, but I know the guy says something like, shum, 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 shum. And then the girl goes, well, then you should get, oh, the ambulance comes. Okay. First of all, I'm leaving this out. So all of a sudden there's three, why is this? This is why cities have no money. Okay. For this small, I would say more than a fender bender, but we're all okay. Three or four huge fire trucks come up with sirens blaring, light flashing. Two ambulances show up. This is before the police get there. It's amazing. It just cracks me up. I'm sitting there shaking my head like, I don't believe this. You know? I mean, this is why cities have no money, right? I don't know what that girl said. I don't know. I think the wife was the one who called because she was clearly calming. They should have been looking at the guy beating up his own car. I'm like, damn, if you just got your car jacked up by somebody, why are you going to hurt your own car? Better that than, I don't know. People are crazy. All right. So the witness, who's supposed to be a witness, thinks I'm driving the car. Okay. Two firemen come over and look at me like I'm the one driving the car. What'd you do? How did it happen? What did you turn? You. Now, again, same situation. I haven't moved. I'm still standing outside the car with my arms folded, kind of looking around. My friend is still in her purse because she in the front seat with the seatbelt. And they're still looking at me like, I'm thinking, what? So now I'm thinking, why do you all think I'm the... And it's funny because aside from the child involved, hey, I'm the one guy who can't drive a car. Isn't that ironic? You're going to assume it's the one guy who has no driver's license. And that's the guy that you're going to say is driving. It just... All right. So then the two, they ask everybody if they're okay. I noticed they didn't bother to ask me, but there's probably, listen, everybody's standing out. It's not like I'm the only guy standing and people are sprawled out all over on the parking lot bleeding. You understand what I mean, right? So they go over and ask the people who hit us, are you okay? I can hear them. Are you okay? Are you okay? Okay. Nobody bothers to ask me. Okay. I don't care. That's fine. So then of course they open the hood and make sure the car is not going to explode because the side of the car is really bad. Then, two ambulances show up. And again, the same scenario. Now, I'm telling you, in hindsight, my friend kept telling me, she said she's never seen anything like it. And she said, everybody thought you were driving a car. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that funny? Not ironic, but it's kind of, I don't know. When the police show up, finally the police show up. Oh, and I might want to tell you that, and the guy calms down. I mean, he realizes, hey, you know, what are you going to do? These things happen. Yes, it's my friend's fault, but you know. And of course, my friend starts tearing up, crying and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh God, here we go, right? I mean, it's just a mess. So the police show up, and I don't know where you live, but here they don't take a report if no one's hurt. But I want you to make it clear. They came up to me and said, what did you do? Or I don't remember the word. And in all these situations, when people are asking me, I'm pointing at my friend saying she's driving the car. But they all assume. Now, what's my point? Not me. Okay. At first, I thought it was just a happenstance, except that I've been in a lot of accidents, but never in this city, at least this part of the city. And it just struck me as odd that the minute everybody, that the officials got there, the witnesses, everybody assumed it was the brother man who caused the accident. That's it. Now, is it my imagination? It's not my imagination because, again, my friend saw the same thing, and she said to me, just a couple of hours later, in all the years she's lived, she's never seen anything like that before. And I've never seen anything. It's just so weird. They wanted to blame me, and maybe, I wish I could say, okay, maybe, but I thought it might be because I was the only guy standing up, but that's not true. The driver of the other car was a guy, and he was standing up, the guy calmed down, and the witness, one more thing I thought was kind of interesting is that the wife who introduced herself as the wife was talking to the witness as if it was going to be them against us. You know, I guess it's because they're young and stupid, or maybe they watch too much court TV. And they seem really disappointed that the police didn't want to take a report. Well, why would they? Hey, just exchange. By the way, my friend finally did find her insurance. And everybody finally left. But it was just odd, the assumption that people made. And I just found it ironic that they just assumed it was me. And I don't know. I'll just leave it at that. And it's just bizarre. I mean, it's just weird. But I tell you what, it felt to me on some level, I guess I was thinking, well, why do you think this woman is sitting in the front seat of a car with a seatbelt over one shoulder, looking in her purse with tears? Why do you think it's the guy, the black man, that's standing outside the car, calmly looking at the car? Why do you think it's him? Do you think, I mean, do they really believe, and maybe they do, I know it's on, sometimes it happens on court TV, maybe they think that, you know, I was doing some kind of drugs, or maybe just robbed the bank. I don't know, right? Maybe just carjack somebody, hit these people on my way away from the hood, right? Getting back to the, going from the hood, from the rich part of town to the hood. And all of a sudden, we switch places. Is that what they think? Jesus. I mean, what do you, I mean, I just, it's like, what do you, what, you know? Just, man, I tell you what. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I truly expected them to say, what's your name, boy? What's your name? I truly expected him to say it at some point. At first, I didn't. At first, I thought everybody was just confused. But as I look back at it, and as we talked about it, it was very obvious. They just, you know? And of course, I wasn't moving around very much. You know, I was just kind of standing. And I was in a good, not a good mood, but I was smiling. I was nice. In fact, I was the only one there who, you know, the police said something, something, something. And I was like, pardon me? He said, oh, no, it was my friend. Oh. Like, he didn't believe me. Anyway, okay, I'll leave it at that. I think Lord. Anyway, the main thing is, and then my friend, I'm a little stiff today, but not enough. I don't think I have any soft tissue damage. I wish I did. Not a lot, you understand, but I wouldn't mind getting a couple of $10,000, $20,000 from the insurance company. Like, that's going to happen, right? But no, there was nothing wrong. I mean, and by the way, the guy, I think I said the driver of the car, his wife said, do you want to get in the ambulance to go? And he's like, no. And I don't blame him. Anybody ever taken an ambulance somewhere? Those things are expensive. I'm telling you. I mean, I was in an accident once. I was in an accident once, many, many moons ago. And I had to take an ambulance. They took me to the hospital. And the bill I got, I didn't have any insurance at the time. It only took me about a mile and a half. And it was like $800. And this was 20-some-odd years ago. I'll tell you what. I'd rather take a city bus than get an ambulance. Seriously. All right. Bottom line is, for those of you who, if anybody witnessed that accident, hey, it wasn't me. Okay. It was not the brother man that caused this accident. I was a victim. Well, not a victim, but you know what I mean. Anyway, the good news is no one was hurt and I'm able to make a joyful noise. And that's why I'm going to remind you to make a joyful noise. And I'll see you back here soon. Take care. Bye bye.